So it's my pleasure to welcome Xinjin to our mathematical physics seminar. She'll be telling us about she's from Boston College, and she will be telling us about homological mirror symmetry for the universal centralizers.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. It's a great pleasure to give a talk at PI. So, so this is my topic today. So some homological mirror symmetry results for the universal centralizer. So first, let me give the brief overview of this result. So the goal of the talk is to present some generalizations to the following well-known HMS results. So it says that for a complex torus, the T is C star to the N. You let T check to be its dual torus. Then there's a equivalence of categories from the wrapped Foucault category of the cotangent bundle of T to coherent shift on the dual torus. So this is like the primitive form of homological mirror symmetry. So here may be some brief remark about this category and also how one can deduce an equivalence. So first, this is actually called the partially wrapped category. So I will spell out some details in later slides. And maybe omit that, let's just briefly see how one can deduce an equivalence. So first, this wrapped category on the cotangent bundle is equivalent to local systems on T. So one can deduce that either from like a result of Nader-Zeth's law or result from Abzaii. And then, so local systems on T are just representations of the fundamental group. So one gets modules over the group algebra of this pi one, which is identified with the real functions on the dual torus. So then one gets the coherent shift on the dual torus. So then we want to generalize the above theorem in the non-abelian setting. So the replacement is replacing this group T by complex semi-simple Lie group G. And more generally, one can do reductive one, but that's just for simplicity, semi-simple in this talk. And we need to replace the cotangent bundle T by some relevant variety, which is some interesting holomorphic symplectic variety, which is called the universal centralizer, denoted by JG. So this also has the name Tauda phase space. Okay, so it's very relevant to physics. Okay, great. So now let me give a definition of JG. So actually there are several equivalent definitions of this JG, and we'll only list two of them, highlighting some features that we will use later. So the first definition illustrates the name universal centralizer, and will show an integrable system structure on JG. Okay. So then one can see some SYZ mirror symmetry style. So SYZ, like how to say, mirror dual style, yeah, dualizing of SYZ vibrations. Okay. So, so this is one formal definition of this JG. So one takes pairs of G, comma, C inside this group times regular elements in the dual the algebra. And one demands that this G centralizes C, so we have this relation. And of course, one can see this happening inside the so-called regular part of the cotangent bundle of G by identifying this two using like a left translation. And then after finding this subvariety here, one to a GIT quotient by the adjoint action of G. So the adjoint action acts both G and C by this adjoint action. And then, it's essentially just taking invariant functions on this affine variety. So that's the definition of GG. Make it more explicit in the type A case, so SLNC case. So regular just means that the centralizer of this QC is minimal dimension, so it's rank of G. Okay. So for SLN case, so QC should be like similar to some Jordan form with some Jordan blocks, but we should demand that the entries in different blocks to be mutually distinct. That's the characterization of regular in this SLN case. Yeah, so feel free to stop me if there's any question. So this definition one is just copying what we saw in the previous slide. And here we give illustrate the structure of integrable system. Okay. So for each G QC inside GG, or maybe it's equivalence classes, roughly say, then you can send to the some base space, okay, some base affine space, which is denoted by the C, and it's the usual one, the W orbits of in the dual Gardan. And it's just sending QC to the characteristic polynomial. And then after this, so let's just see this picture, one example explicit in the SL2 case. So in this case, the base is this T star over W, which is just A1. So characteristic polynomial for this the algebra element is just taking a determinant. And then stratify this A1 into the origin and the rest. So the rest are the generic points. So we have the generic point here, which is can be represented by a diagonal matrix, non-zero diagonal matrix. And then the fiber GG over this point is by this definition, just a centralizer of this matrix. And in this case, it's clear that it's just the diagonal matrices in SL2. So identified with six star. And when we enter the this origin point, then here we should represent it by a nilpotent matrix because of the regularity assumption. So here we represent by this one. And then if you calculate the centralizing group elements, then you would get two piece of A1 here. So one A1 corresponds to this this lower triangular unipotent matrices. And then the other A1 is multiplied by the center to here. So a negative identity to this matrix. So we get two disjoint union of A1 as central fiber. So then in particular, this gives a abelian group scheme structure over this base C. And this is actually an integrable, holomorphic integrable system. And one more feature in this picture, which is also important later. So we always have some sections of this fibration. So which comes from the center element of this group. And these are called constant sections. So for each element in the center, so just because every center element just centralizes every frequency. And maybe just a connection to this SYZ vibration. So here, yeah, so you have like torus vibration, although these are like non-compact torus, but essentially and you get some kind of SYZ vibration. So I should expect some neurosymmetry happening. Okay, so so this upper part is just again copying the previous slide, and here maybe this is maybe not so essential to us, but let me just state it, which gives a more explicit description of this JG. Using a theorem of constant. So we fix some principal SL2 triple. So in particular, E and F are regular elements of the Lie algebra G. And the constant slice is just by definition, this F plus kernel of adjoint E, depending on G. And after identifying G star regular with G regular using Killing form, one has inclusion here. So this is also part of the theorem that this is always regular. And then one can do the adjoint quotient to this C that we denoted here. And then the theorem of constant saying that this composition is actually an isomorphism. So once we have this isomorphism, we can get a simpler description of JG without the GIT quotient. So you just take conceive from this S and then you take union of all their centralized. So that's maybe a more explicit description. So any questions? Okay, very good. So now let me give a second description, so which is from Hamiltonian reduction. Oh, by the way, so these descriptions one can find in Ginzburg's paper on new Hecker algebra and that's called a Whittaker category. Yeah, so there's some sections giving such a description. Okay. So JG can be realized as a Hamiltonian reduction of the cotangent bundle of G, like this. So from here, the symplectic structure is more explicit, more apparent. So actually it's hyperkähler, but we will not use this here. So let's fix some standard notation. So we have the Borel inside G and a maximal torus here, and we have the unipotent radical of B, and we have the corresponding Lie algebras. And here we consider two actions of the unipotent group here, so which are from left and the right action on G, and lifted to Hamiltonian actions on the cotangent bundle. And there's a standard way to write down the moment map, so which is going to the dual the algebra of N, which can be identified with the opposite N. So these are given explicitly as follows. So again, we use GKC to represent a point here. Then the moment map is, so the red action gives C mod B, mod Borel, and then G could see G inverse mod Borel. And then here we can take some generic or regular the algebra character of N, so inside here. And more explicitly in the SLN case, you just take this a single Jordan block. And then, in this case, we'll fix the notation here. So this using this F, one can construct a principal SL2 triple, so EFH. So these notations are reserved for this SL2 triple. And then we can give the Hamiltonian reduction definition of GG. So it's just taking the mu inverse of this F, and then quotient by the n times action. And one can check that after using constant result that this action is free. So the quotient is smooth. It's a smooth holomorphic symplectic derived. Okay, great. So this gives a second definition which is equivalent to previous one by some analysis. So okay, great. So there's one more structure that I want to say, which is a little. Yeah, which is relevant to some symplectic geometry aspect. So there's a natural C star action on JG. So defined as follows. So we still use this EFH here. So H is actually inside the Skardon, which is in this case, is determined to be 2 times rho. So rho is the, 2 rho is the sum of all the positive coroutes. So this is in this lattice. And then we can say how C star acts on this GG. So we view G plus C as inside here, you pick any representative in each orbit. And then S on G plus C is roughly doing just the adjoint action by S of upper H, because this H gives a co-character. And then you modify it by multiplying the Lie algebra element by S squared. So this is because you want to keep this F under this action. So in particular here, because of the weight -2 on F. So you have adjoint scale F by weight -2, and then you want to compensate that. So that gives this a square. Okay, so that's the action. And then the feature that we use is that this sister action scales the symplectic form omega by weight 2. And for later discussions, we'll use so-called the Liouville vector field. So for Liouville vector field, if you take the flow of it, it should be some R plus action scale the omega by weight 1. So over here, we simply just take the radial action here and take maybe square root to get this Liouville vector field or Liouville flow. That's some additional structure. Okay, so now I'm ready to state the main theorem. So the first theorem is about the proper definition of a Foucault category or wrapped Foucault category on this GG. So the first part says that JG can be partially compactified to be a Liouville and even nicer Weinstein sector, canonical up to isotropy. So this is just to say that one can define a partially wrapped category on this variety. So I will give some details about this later. And then after one can define this category, then one can state a mirror symmetry result analogous to the torus case. So here, the first, the simplest one is when G is of adjoint type. the center is trivial, then the wrapped category of this thing is equivalent to a coherent sheaf on the dual maximal torus. Here I write simply connected because the dual group is simply connected. This is just the maximal torus in the dual group. And then you do a categorical quotient by W, so the just orbit space of this W action. And then now one can state what's happening for general G. So the general G is a little bit more complicated. So if you take replicable category of JG, then you should see the center taking in playing some role. So you get the same space from the adjoint form. So this is the same as this. And then there's this pi one of G check acting on this space because pi one acts on the torus, and then it commutes with this W action, so it descends to action on this categorical quotient. And then here I write it as center G Pontryagin and dual, so they are canonically identified. So in summary, the right-hand side is some equivalent coherent sheaves on this space. So actually this space is quite simple. It's just some I find space. However, the left-hand side it's kind of complicated, it's much complicated than the left-hand side. Okay, so, so that's the statement and some technical remark here. So this Liouville-Weinstein sector defined by Sylvan and also more systematically defined by this natural Harden and Shende GPS, reference GPS later. And then this replicable category is some partially replicable category following up the Seidel and Sylvan and using more systematically by GPS. And just remark on some related result. So this can be seen as an analytic version of the theorem by Lonergan and Ginsburg, independent work. So so Ginsburg work is the paper that I mentioned before. So so one can take this Y Whitaker D module on G, where this precedes our F as before. And they build an equivalence to quasi Fourier sheaves on some kind of coarse quotient of the T upper star by W alpha. So that's algebraic version. And one can do holonomic to coherent. So there's some analogy here, but there's no direct relation between this algebraic and analytic version. And one can maybe refer this analytic as like a Betti version following this Benzivi-Nebeler's Betti-Lalanne program. Okay, great. Any questions?
Yeah, sorry. So I think you'll probably, it looks like your next slide will answer one of my questions, but I didn't, how is this sort of quotient by pi one of G check? Why, how is this not just, maybe I don't understand quotients well. How is that not the torus in the, like just the dual, why is the second line in theorem two not just T check mod W?
Oh, this is not just the orbit space. This is like, because you have some fixed point. So this is like equivalent sheaf. So for example, if you do A1 quotient by D-module action, the negative one, then you get this equivalent, D-module equivalent sheaf on A1. So that's SL2 case.
Okay, so then maybe I missed your notes. Like double slash means like GR.
Double slash is like so orbit space. The categorical quotient. Maybe better say just equivariant shift on this.
So single slash is like the stack quotient and double slash is like the GRC quotient or something.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you for the question. Any other questions?
I mean, again, maybe you'll cover this later, but I mean, this JG, it's singular, right? I'm not making that up.
No, it's smooth.
It's smooth? Okay.
Yeah, everything it's smooth, yeah, holomorphic complexity.
Okay.
So, yeah, and especially the fiber will be like a smooth Lagrangian. So it's an integrable system.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Right. So, so then maybe it's some background on the Web category. Let me just, my slides contains materials more than I could say in this limited time. Maybe let me just select some most important points and skip some of the technical aspects. So, yeah, this is for people who haven't worked with Foucault category yet. So, so first, there's some overview about Liouville and Weinstein manifolds. So, so the main point of this slide is just to show a picture about low-dimensional Liouville manifold. So, it's a symplectic manifold. And the symplectic form should be exact. So here the choice of the primitive is important here. It's a data here. And we have the Liouville vector field, which is denoted by Z, and it's just dual to the alpha by this omega. And once you have this relation, then it's clear that the flow of Z scales omega by weight one, and the structure of Liouville manifold is some additional requirement on Z. So it has two parts. First, the flow of Z should be complete, and the Z should be pointing outward everywhere along the infinity boundary of X. To be more precise, so you should imagine that you have some compact domain, which is called the Liouville domain, and there you start to see Z pointing outward along the boundary, and then after that you just take like a cylinder completion for this. So it's just a compact domain attached by a cylinder. That's the picture. And then, so some standard examples. So first, a cotangent bundle of any closed manifold is Liouville manifold. And this alpha is just PDQ, and Z is the Euler vector field. And in the R2n, and the other one is like this R2n, the whole even dimensional Euclidean space. And then the symplectic form is the standard one, like DQ reg DP. And then alpha is this, it's a different one than the usual PDQ. So the resulting Liouville vector field is like half of the radial vector. That's some easy examples. And then any questions? Okay, and then there's Weinstein manifolds. So I don't want to spend too much time on this. So this is following Seelebeck and Ashberg. So it gives a nice class of Liouville manifolds. The main feature of this is that one can understand Weinstein manifolds just from Hendel attachments. So it's closely related to Moore's theory. So here is a typical example of constructing Weinstein manifold from handle attachment. So you start from like so-called index zero handle, so which is just our R2n, the second example here. So you start from this, and then you start to adding handles to it to make it more complicated. And so you add, so for here I draw adding an index one handle. So the index is the like ascending manifold of the flow of Z. Okay, so you have some fixed point, which like a critical point, if you like. And then you have some ascending manifold of them. So this, the dimension gives the index. And then you have some attaching map from this, maybe the core of each handle, the green one is the core. And then attaching is along some so-called isotropic sphere of this contact boundary. And that's the picture. So by some easy analysis, one can deduce that the index, which is the dimension of this ascending manifold, is at most half dimensional. So then you at most get some like Lagrangian handle. And there's some terminology for distinguish Lagrangian and only isotropic handles. So if your ascending manifold is maximum dimension equals n, that's called critical handle. And if it's less than n, strictly less than n, it's called subcritical. The reason is that if you want to calculate any interesting invariants, only the critical one will control those invariants. So that's some maybe slogan. Only the critical handles will give you interesting symplectic invariants. That's a brief overview. Any questions? Okay, great. And then from here, one can construct the core of this Weinstein manifold just by taking the union of the ascending manifolds for all the fixed points. And now after reviewing this Liouville Weinstein manifolds, let me just do the generalization to sectors. So sectors is a generalization of the above notions to manifold with a boundary case. So let me give a quick definition of it. So a Liouville sector is a Liouville manifold with boundary that can be obtained from the following procedure. So you start from a Liouville manifold, which I called denoted by X bar. So which is also called a completion, Liouville completion of this X. So it's a Liouville manifold. And then you need the data of a Liouville hypersurface in this infinity boundary of X, which is a contact manifold. And you take a hypersurface, which has the structure that you restrict your contact form to F, it's a Liouville domain. So, So let me not explain too much about it. So, in this low dimensional picture, if you have a disk, then F is just maybe a bunch of points. And then after having these pairs, X bar and F, you delete some neighborhood of F, some standard neighborhood of F. And then the remaining thing becomes X, where the solid purple curve gives the boundary of X. So when we say the boundary or finite boundary of X is this solid thing, and it's to distinguish with the infinity boundary, which is from this contact part. And then, yeah, one can also make this C tangent to the finite boundary of X. Yeah, so it's maybe useful to just keep in mind this very simple picture. And one can replace everything by Weinstein and then get the Weinstein notion. Okay, so here's some examples. So the first one a good source of Liouville sectors is from a cotangent bundle of a compact manifold with some smooth boundary. So for example, you can consider cotangent bundle of this closed interval 0 to 1. And then here it's a manifold with boundaries. The boundary are the cotangent fibers at 0 and 1. And then you have some infinity boundary here. So then this is a little sector. And then one can also consider products of Liouville sectors. It's still Liouville sector. So in particular, our T star non-compact torus at the beginning is the example of Liouville sector. And actually, in this case, one can say it's Weinstein sector. And so then here we have some boundary of it, which is different from the infinity boundary. And let me omit this another example. So, okay, so now one can define a wrapped Foucault category of these Liouville sectors or Weinstein sectors. Okay. So, so here's a picture of the two-dimensional case. So you delete a neighborhood of a bunch of points on your infinite boundary, you get several solid boundaries. And then you want to study Foucault category for this thing. So so the objects of this will be some exact closed Lagrangians in this picture, and with some condition on their infinity if they are not compact. So so if they have infinite end, then it should be conic and only asymptotic to this dashed boundary. And there's also some technical assumptions on these structures on this Lagrangian. But here the main new input for this setting is that the infinity of L shouldn't touch the solid boundary. And then one can consider some wrapped floor complex. So there's some wrapping data involved in calculating this floor complex. So essentially, so for wrapping, following the idea of Seidel and others. Okay. So so you should pick some allowed Hamiltonians that to wrap the infinity of your Lagrangian. So here, one chooses positive Hamiltonians, and in this simple picture, it's just that you need to wrapping in the counterclockwise direction. And then you wrap the first entry, but make sure that your wrapping never touches this solid forbidden boundary. And then you get some poset of Hamiltonians, and then you take some kind of collimit of these. So there's some connecting maps between them, and then you take the collimit. So roughly speaking, is that you wrap as much as you want, and then in the end, it will give you the correct calculation. So. So in this picture, so I just illustrate the picture. So here I have L0 and L1 here. And then I can do wrap the floor between L0 and L1. Then I should wrap L0 as much as possible. But as I do this, L0 will never touch L1. So the floor complex is zero. However, if I do a wrapping of L1, then if I wrap enough, I will always intersect L0 with one point. So the result is a one-dimensional vector space. Okay, so any questions? Okay, great. So this is an infinity category, as always. Okay, so let me, for the rest maybe 15 or more minutes, let me give you the rough idea how you get the mirror symmetry for this SL2 case. And if I have more time, I can explain the general case. So we have this picture as before, and the flow here represents the flow of the C star action. So you should think this as you should regard this as the Liouville flow. So in particular, maybe let me say that this Liouville flow is not pointing outward everywhere. So it's not a Liouville manifold. So however, one can argue that by some modification, you can make this into a Liouville sector, even better, Weinstein sector, where the infinity boundary will be this vertical boundary where you see the flow going outward, and the roughly horizontal boundary will be this forbidden newly added boundary. So that's the rough idea, but one should do some detailed argument. So then let me just explain some Weinstein-Hendel decomposition of this thing. So first we have the zero Hendel in some more general setting, more spot setting. So which is you delete this horizontal, this constant sections. Okay. So the remaining picture, you can build a holomorphic symplectic isomorphism to the codarian bundle of the maximal torus. So here I just give explicitly what these elements represent. So B and X are the dual coordinate. So this in T, this is in the D algebra, or the algebra star. And then it gives a pair of G cos C, where cos C is of this form. So X negative X, Y negative B negative two. And then G is this anti-diagonal matrix. And maybe just a remark, if people would like G to centralize cos C, one should replace this zero by 2xB. So I'm doing the Hamiltonian reduction version. So, and I'm doing this because I want to reduce this G into some like, what's the code? Using like a Brouhaha decomposition. So you do like a G quotient by N, then you get some like W thing. That's the point here. And just a comment on some interesting geometry here. So if you consider the zero section in this open set, this open part, then you get zero, zero, cos C is at zero, zero in the diagonal. Then you take the characteristic, take the determinant, you get B negative two. And then you see that the zero section covers the deleted base, like 2 to 1. That's some interesting geometry here. And then, after this identification, so one can actually, here one can already give some Liouville Weinstein sector structure on this part. So if you think of T star T, in this case as T star S1 times R2, and then here I'm doing a sector thing. So if you draw the vector field, then in the T star S1 vector, it's the usual standard Euler vector field. And on the R2 piece, it's somewhere inward, somewhere outward. So then here it's natural just to put a finite boundary in this inward place. This product gives a sector structure. And if you do the completion, you get the Weinstein completion, you get the core to be S1 times a point. In particular, this is like a subcritical handle loosening. Okay. So, yeah. So then after that, we attach two index two handles. So each index two handle comes from just the neighborhood of this constant section. And this normal slice, so this central fiber, each component should give the core of our handle. So you this is the handle and then you're attaching along this core. So here's a picture. So you attach actually along the infinity boundary of this previous sector T*T. And you attach along two interesting Lagrangian S1s on the contact boundary point. So that's the rough picture. And this gives a general feature where one can build JG from this handle attachment. So yeah, maybe I don't have 10 minutes. So okay, so let me just explain that one can get the skeleton of this JSL2. So so first for the completion X bar, so for this JG, which is a Weinstein manifold, one can get the core to be this purple part where one has the S1 to be the core of the T*T. And then you are attaching two handles. So these two Lagrangian disks are the central fiber in the integral system. And then for any sector, you can define the skeleton, which is the additional data by joining some core of F. Let me not explain too much. So then at the end, you get a Lagrangian skeleton. And in SL2 case, what you get is that you union with semi-infinite annulus to this picture. So the outcome is this, this maybe UFO picture. So here I said this is in the middle, everything is empty. And when you do this attaching, you get some interesting Lagrangian singularity. So this is optional. So for people who are interested in Lagrangian singularities, there's some borealization procedure one can use to calculate the sheaf category. But we will not do this because in general, it's complicated to calculate the sheaf category using this Lagrangian skeleton, because the singularity is very complicated. Okay, so maybe let me give some statement about the generation result for rep category. So by this joint work by these four authors and also by GPS. So once we know the skeleton, okay, although we don't understand the singularity very much, we can directly say which are the generators for the replica category. So the generators are so-called the co-cores. So that is for each Lagrangian piece, smooth Lagrangian piece in your skeleton, you take the normal slice, which is some Lagrangian disk, and then this will give the generators for the wrapped Phi caddy. So it's a very nice result. So then if we apply to this skeleton that we get from this SL2 case, then we have Lagrangian, three Lagrangian pieces. And then, so here the nice thing is that this top hemisphere and the bottom hemisphere, the cocores are exactly the constant sections. And so if you remember the picture, so these are the horizontal sections, and these hemisphere are the central fibers. And we also have one more cocore, which is applies to this this annulus. However, by a simple argument, if you do a compact to the supported Hamiltonian isotopy, we can isotope this thing into here, which only intersects the other two Lagrangian pieces. So the result tells us that we don't need this additional generator. So this is generated by these two constant sections. So in summary, which works in general, that the constant section will generate the Foucault-Acadie. So, so then here we can give explicit functor between this wrapped category and this equivariant coherent shifts on here just the A1. Okay. So so each constant section is indexed by a central element. So then it's corresponding to the structure shift on A1 with equivalent structure from to the corresponding character of this pi one of this z mod 2z. So that's the identification. And then it's good. So I have 5 more minutes, I guess. So let me just summarize the general strategy to understand this mirror symmetry. So in general, this JG admits Bruhat decomposition, which gives a similar Weinstein-Hendel decomposition that we saw for SL2 case. So in particular, in this case, this constant section corresponds to identity, so W equals 1. And the complement corresponds to W equals the longest element. And in general, you have longest element correspond to also T star of the maximal torus. And then by some argument, and see that JG can be partially compactified to be a Weinstein sector. So then this wrapped Foucault category is well defined. And then here the handles are indexed by subsets of the collection of simple roots. Okay, so each gives this wild group element, and this WS is the longest for the wild group of the standard Levy. And then for generation result, we get exactly a similar situation. So the constant sections corresponding to center of G will correspond to characters of pi one of G check, and then correspond to generators of this equivariant coherent shift category. And then maybe some remarkable calculation of this thing, which is maybe the major part of this proof, is one. Let's just explain this adjoint case. This in general follows not very hard from this adjoint case. So so in this adjoint case, you just have one generator. So there's only one constant section. So the first step is try to calculate the wrapped fluoro complex, because its anamorphism will determine the mirror, right? So So we just want to say that its anamorphism is really the ring of functions on this T-check mod W. And to do this, one first identify on the vector space level, so we choose some nice Hamiltonians. so that the intersection points are indexed by this dominant coweight of T at. So this exactly gives the function on this dual the t-check mod w. And these points have the correct degree, so all in like degree zero. So as vector space, they are the same. And of course, one has to find the algebra structure. For that, one should use some indirect procedures, so which uses some functorialities between between this, I mean, for inclusion of Liouville sectors. For example, here you have T star T sitting inside here, then there will be some functor between the Foucault category on this cotangent of T and the Foucault category on this JG. So one use some functoriality between them. And then plus some more structures, one can get the result. And yeah, so then I think that's finished what I want to say. And yeah, maybe I'll see whether people have questions. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Great talk. Questions for Shin?
So I had one question, which is, I'm going to give my own talk about homological mirror symmetry in 2 hours.
Where?
One of the things that sort of came up in that work, so this universal centralizer for the Lie algebra, that's an spec of the homology for the affine Grassmannian. So it's a Coulomb branch. And there's a sort of thing, which is the universal centralizer for the group, which is the spec of the K theory of the affine Grassmannian.
I think mine is for the Lie algebra, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, you're using the Lie algebra. So, well, I'm just wondering, have you thought at all about how these calculations change if you use the group instead of the Lie algebra?
Well, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about it yet, but is it, still like some Hamiltonian reduction, or what's the symplectic structure come from?
I honestly don't know. I would guess, this is just based on like analogy with other situations, that it's like a quasi-Hamiltonian reduction. Justin, do you know if the group version of the, is Justin actually here? Yeah, okay. At least he signed into the call.
Let me think for a minute, and then I'll get back to you guys in a couple seconds.
The kind of thing that usually happens, but I don't know offhand. But I mean, it is still symplectic. An interesting variation on this to think about.
I would think about it. Sounds very interesting. Yeah, it's like related by some exponential map, naively. That's not you.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these, like, I think you can probably embed this guy inside the multiplicative one. Probably you'll get kind of more stuff in your Lagrangian skeleton. I mean, basically, right, what's different is now the integrable system is over not the torus, group torus. Get some sort of extra stuff that closes up because of the group closing up.
Sounds very interesting. Yeah, so then, I see. Yeah, that I maybe need to think about it, because here I use this radial action on the base, right? So that's part of the Weinstein, maybe this Liouville or Weinstein sector structure. I have to think about it for this. Sounds very interesting.
And somehow so the thing I'm going to talk about is the stuff for hypertoric varieties, and somehow you get a nice kind of clean statement if you use multiplicative hypertoric varieties, which are again one of these kind of like using a K theory instead of a homology kind of thing, where your mirror is a hyperkähler rotation.
I see. So you replace T star T with like C star times C star, something like that? I mean naively, I just mean the simplest.
It's just a different thing, right? This JG that comes from a pure gauge theory. Just something about the structure of the group G. And this Coulomb branch story is that there's some generalization of this where you stick in a representation of G as well.
Right.
You construct something as birational to J,
but it has
different singularities. So for the torus, this JG is very boring. But then if you throw in matter, then you get some interesting thing that's birational to it. Somehow the statement comes out much nicer if you use the K theory version instead of the homology version. So again, you get not an integrable system, you know, going down to the torus of a Lie algebra, but going down to an actual torus.
Sounds very. So where's your talk? Maybe I should attend your talk.
I sent out the info to the PI.
To all?
I sent it out to the mailing list for this seminar, but not to you. But I can forward it.
Oh, could you send me to the chat or maybe to I think I should attend your talk. Sounds very interesting.
Here, I just forwarded it to you, Shen.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you, Justin. Sounds good. When is it? You know, a few hours. When is it?
It's at 4 Eastern.
4 Eastern, okay. I think I should move my office hour. Office hours start from 3:45.
Sorry to make that about me, but.
Very interested. And also last time I talked with Justin, I also want to like expand this to other Coulomb branches, but I don't know. I haven't started yet.
What happened to us is when we did try to do it with the additive versions of these guys, the additive hypertrophic array, it just didn't work out quite right. What we were doing was we knew how to calculate the coherent sheaves on an additive hypertoric variety. And you got something that we're just like, you know, somehow it really looked like it had something to do with the Lagrangian skeleton of the multiplicative hypertoric variety. But, you know, somehow like the relation was somehow a little complicated. And then if you switch the multiplicative guy, then just everything works on the nose. And it sort of ends up, you know, kind of matching up perfectly.
Interesting.
And so I sort of wonder, because, you know, that guy you're writing of the T star of the torus, well, that's something that looks familiar to people who think about Coulomb branches, but, you know, you're not getting hyperkaler rotation.
Oh, right. It's like a 2D mirror symmetry rather than like a 3D mirror symmetry. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Right. No, I think to physicists, this is like a very weird business to be doing of like, you take this 3D thing and take it. There must be some good explanation of why that's an interesting thing to look at, but
I don't have a well understand.
But, you know, like, I wonder. But, you know, somehow, like, for non-abelian group, like, we really use in a very kind of hands-on way that we're using tori, right? You end up with a Lagrangian skeleton where the things that show up are toric varieties, and they're, you know, meeting in the usual kind of like normal crossing way, and it's like, oh, everything's easy.
Yeah, it's like some kind of cotangent. I mean, in quotes, like toric variety, some kind of
I mean, you can think about it as like you have a torus in the like usual topological sense. you take mm-hmm. some translates of sub tori, and that like mm-hmm. cuts it up into polytopes and multiplicative hypertoric varieties. Like you puff up all of those polytopes to toric varieties and plumb together their cotangent bundles. The picture you get on the Lagrangian skeleton side. And then that same picture shows up on the coherent sheaf side in some completely different way.
I see. So it's a type of like this gluing matchup, you say. It's gluing caddy. Sounds very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you say something else about this other piece of the skeleton? Basically, the part that isn't the zero fiber of the moment map in the SL2 case. Sorry, the zero fiber of the interval system. The part that's
you mean the handle attachment?
Yeah, the handle attachment.
Yeah, let me see where did I put it? Oh, later.
Because your skeleton was basically the zero fiber, and then it was one other. Then it had this like other piece.
Right. So the complement of these two sections will be. You can identify with T star C star. Yeah.
Yes.
So then you get the skeleton. I mean, depends on your setting. I would say maybe the core would be just the one S one. Yeah. Because it's T star S one times R two. So the core of the maybe the one thing completion is S one. So it's like a subcritical handle. And then you attach two handles here, which has core this fiber, right? Each one is a disc, right? And then the boundary S1 attached to this S1 in some interesting way. So there was some singularity around here. Yeah, so that's the picture. Is that what you asked?
I was hoping that maybe it would have some sort of a description in terms of the C star action, or I was hoping for just
So this is invariant under C star action. So, but this attaching map is not very explicit. I mean, one need to make some modification to get this. Attaching at finite place because literally this thing goes off to infinity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to, if you just do the zero section of the T star T, then actually they will not intersect. So this thing will not intersect the zero section of T star T. So and you do some modification to like stop these two things, then they will glue. And in some sense, this uses this direction. So I mean, if you delete these two things, then you get maybe a real hypersurface section, right? Of the maybe R plus action, because everything is just homogeneous, right? So you get maybe in this real picture, you take this hypersurface which is real, and then everything is just state. I mean, or the flow of the R star action of R plus action of this hypersurface, and then. Let's say in the adjoint case, maybe more clear here.
Okay. Yeah.
And then this hypersurface will be some kind of. So the goal is to making this hypersurface just one kind of this boundary. So that's just the rough idea. So this hypersurface have some additional structure that's making it into this. Weinstein sector or Liouville sector structure. So this hypersurface is actually some Liouville domain times R. So that's roughly the idea. So yeah, I don't know whether
That was good.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Thank you for the question. Okay.
Any further questions for Shin? If not, I think we should thank her for an excellent, really excellent talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.